Last, I believe the conference was in April. I had never met Gary before. I had talked to Daisy. She's their chief intercessor. She's kind of my spiritual mom in a sense. And I told her a little about what the Lord was doing. She goes, "You need to meet Gary. You need to meet Gary Carpenter. He's really into that vein. You really need to meet him." And I'd never met him up to that point. And he came out and taught one morning. And I don't know what had happened, but he began to speak in humility in which he spoke and the wisdom which he spoke. And the Lord just grabbed my heart so strong that morning. I had to walk out, leave the building. I walked out in the field. I laid down in the middle of that field out there. And I wept so I felt like my whole insides were about to come out. And it just so tremendously touched me. And the Lord put us together that week in a strong way. And he developed a covenant bond. And many of you, who was here? Raise your hand last time he came in. Praise God. And the wisdom in which he taught. Are you going to share your testimony this week? Whatever the Lord says. Well, let me share just a big 5 minute. Anyway, before this week, the Lord spoke to me and said, "I want him to teach Sunday morning." And I was so busy this week, I said, "Praise God." I said, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." So I let him know last night at 7 o'clock he'll be teaching this morning. But see, Gary's pretty prepared, you know. He stays prepared. Gary was a truck driver. Before that, he did quite a few things in real estate. And when the Lord really got a hold of him, he was driving trucks. And I think he said he made a commitment as long as he was in the cab of that truck, he was going to pray in the Holy Ghost without fail. And that was like 10 hours a day. 40 hours a week, he would pray in the Holy Ghost. And I remember this testimony. He said this first day was a 10-hour stretch, nonstop praying in the Holy Ghost. And I remember that one deal you said when you walked through the truck stop and you were just like this, "Oh, Kota Basa Kitty." And he goes, "Do you feel anything, Gary, after about 5 hours?" He said, "Yes, tired tongue, tired cheeks." And he just kept praying. I bet you all those hours, I bet you thought twice about that commitment you made to the Lord many times. But I think that day the Lord explained to him faith after praying in the Holy Ghost for 10 hours. He knew faith. Isn't that correct? Gave him a vision of how faith worked, and he had to call Sue. And if you ever had God speak to you, he usually gives you about 3 hours worth of, or 4 or 5 hours worth of revelation knowledge in a single second. You know the whole thing, and you try to unravel it to somebody, and you just blah, 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 blah. You ever had that happen? And so he kept praying like that, and God kept speaking to him. See, when you pray, "Speaketh mysteries unto God," you're speaking the mysteries of the Word of God. "He that speaketh in unknown tongues speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries." He's praying up the mysteries and divine revelations, the Word of God, 10 hours, 40 hours a week. So God's naturally going to release the answer to all that praying in the form of revelation knowledge. Started giving him teaching after teaching after teaching. And when I started hearing these teachings and getting them emailed and the tapes. And by the way, if any of you, we need to get everyone on your tape mailing list. And I got to tell that part too. And the Lord finally had so many teachings and the Lord was moving his life. He said, "Gary, I want you to go full time ministry." I don't think he obeyed him for about 10 months after that, because this is the way the Lord told him to do it. He goes, "I want you to start a Bible study," right?
No, not even that.
No, he just said, "Go full time ministry."
This is real good.
For all those you want to go full-time ministry, here you go.
No. Like I'll just take it from here, LaRue.
Okay. Let me just introduce him, because he's going to teach this morning. And I just want to introduce you to Gary Carpenter. Amen. Give him a hand clap.
Thank you, sir. He just does that to embarrass the heck out of me, you know what I mean? All the instructions the Lord gave me were very simple. I mean, I'm sure everybody that the Lord's ever called, he said to do this was, "I want you to go into full-time ministry." Only one problem with that. We didn't have any ministry. He did give us the instructions about starting the Bible study. And at that time, he said, "Now I want you to take up no offerings from these people. I want you to sell no tapes. I do want you to make tapes and duplicate them. Give them to the people free." By the way, now at the time, Sue and I had no secular income of any kind. Nothing. Nothing. Do you understand? Everyone say nothing. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? He says, "Take up no offerings from these people. Sell no tapes. When they start asking for copies of these tapes to be mailed to their relatives and their friends, then I want you to send them to them free. I want you to buy the mailers. I want you to pay the postage." And I'm starting to go up. This doesn't sound like any way to run a ministry to me. I mean, so finally he stopped for a little while, and I said, "Lord, can I Can I at least put in a return envelope? No, you can't put in a return envelope. Well, okay. Okay. He says, oh, I have one other instruction. Don't ever let another human being know of any need that you have. I am your source. And he says, if you will precisely obey these instructions of mine, then I will speak to the hearts of the people I choose to support both you and the ministry. I had $10. That's what I had. The Lord said, start. $10 buys about 20 tapes, roughly. And we bought that many because that's what we had. You know, you do with what you have, you know. So we started. And we have done our best to precisely obey his instructions. Now the tape ministry alone goes from coast to coast, Canada to Peru. We're sending over 1,000 a month, and we still send them all precisely the way that the Lord said to do it. Now, at the end of the first year, really my training is in engineering. I have an industrial engineering degree from Oklahoma State University. And at the end of the first year, I got curious. Of course, the Lord knows how I am. You know, he knew I was going to do this. So I went back to my purchases at Banner Media. I knew how many tapes we'd used. And I just divided that into the income that we had come in through no solicitation of any kind during the year. I wanted to see how much per tape it amounted to. Would you like, let me ask you this. You know, most ministries, when you go to a convention or anything, the tapes usually cost what? At least I usually see is $3 each, more likely about $5, right? Do you know what I would have had to have sold those tapes for in order to amount to the same amount of money that the Lord sent in? $17 a tape. How many of you could afford to send tapes free if the Lord sent you back $17 a tape? Give the Lord a hand. Now, when the Lord gives you instructions, your job is not to change them or alter them. Your job is to obey them. And that's what I'm fixing to do right now. And LaRue is not going to like this one little bit. But he and I work for the same boss. And this isn't the first time that the Lord gave him instructions he didn't like, but he did them anyway. I know that because you don't get as far as this without going through that. While we were in worship this morning, I mean, I can't even begin to tell you all how I feel at the first service, being the one to introduce the first service of this ministry in this building, of all people, why the Lord would have me come. And I think he's given me some, well, I don't think, I know he talked with me this morning about it. But while we were in worship, he gave me these instructions. And if you have a problem with this, you talk to the Lord about it. Whatever we have, Sue and I, to offer, that's our seed, along with our small gift. But any offerings, love offerings for us, all goes to Covenant Worship Center this week. And if anyone comes to me on the side and slips me $20, that's going to Covenant Worship Center. And if anyone writes a check on the side and slips it to us, that's going to Covenant Worship Center. I've already been at this too long to disobey the Lord now. I have found out the secret of prospering. Whatever he says to you, do it. That is the secret. And that's what he said, and I know his voice. That's it, sir. Like it, don't like it, that's it. You take it up with him. Hallelujah. Okay. The magical water is gone now. Okay. All right. Hallelujah. Let's, if you don't mind, I really intended to pray before we started, but the way this turned out, if you don't mind, just join with me. I want to talk with the Lord for a minute. Lord, let me talk. Hallelujah. Lord. Lord, you know what's in my heart and how I feel about standing here. And Lord, what you've shown me today. I ask you, Lord, give me your mind for this individual service with complete clarity. Lord, let me see it straight, a narrow path. Keep me from diversions and side trails, because this is important. Lord, let your mind come forth. Only what you would say to your people. Father, I thank you for every person here. Lord, even now, anoint their ears with ear salve, that they may hear what the Spirit is saying to this body. Father, I sense your Spirit here so strong. I'm having to hold on to this myself to be able to stand upright. Now, Father, let your Spirit fill this place, because it's only really what's done by you, Father, by the anointing of Christ and the power of your Spirit that really matters. Father, everything that's done here, let it please your heart. Let it lift up and magnify and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And let your Spirit have his way. For all these things, all the people say, amen. Jackie, would you come up here, please? Hallelujah. Well, that's why he wants you to come. There's no point remaining with those symptoms till the end of the service. Sue? Hallelujah. Now, I have a personal promise from the Lord Jesus Christ that you need to know about. He told me, personally, whatever that I would ask in his name, he himself would do it. See, that's in everybody's Bible. But he said it to me. Can you believe that? Now, when I touch you, it's my hand, but it's Christ in me, and it's really the Father in him that's going to touch you. And instantly, everything that's not according to God in your body is leaving. Are you ready?
Yes.
You ready?
Yes.
Sue, put your hand right there. Jesus, according to your word, you don't have to wait on us, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, touch now in Jesus' name. Symptoms go, and root cause of the symptoms, leave her body now. Hallelujah. Everyone praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Father. Praise your name, Father. Is there anyone else here with symptoms in your body? Anyone else here? There's no point sitting through a service with symptoms in your body. You might as well get healed now and enjoy the service. Hallelujah. Praise your name. It's over. That's over. You'll not come back and you'll not jump on any people here either. Just get out.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Come out and stay out. Get out of the building. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This would be a lot better if I had my Bible. Hallelujah. When I got to get up a little early this morning, and I was asking the Lord, you know, you might as well get real with the Lord. I said, Lord, why do you want to start another church in Houston? And why in God's name would you want LaRue to be pastor of it? I mean, Lord, I asked him, is LaRue lying to me, Lord? Did you tell him you wanted me to do this service, or is LaRue just tired? You might as well ask him, you know, I mean. He said, no, I told him. So what in the world do you want me to say? Why do you want me to have this service? I mean, this is the beginning of something new. See, earlier this year, the Lord told me in prayer, he said, the way he said it to me was, after the end of September, major change is coming to the body of Christ. And all during the year, every now and then during my prayer time, he would just remind me, never did tell me exactly what it was, but it would come up again after the end of September, major change is coming to the body of Christ. And he meant the body of Christ at large. Excuse me. Then at Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting this year, the Lord appeared to Kenneth Hagin on the stage. How many of you do not know who Kenneth Hagin is? Anybody not know? Kenneth Hagin is probably what we would call the father of the faith movement. Pastor Dave puts it like this. He says, I think really Kenneth Hagin is probably pastor of Tulsa, and all the rest of us are Sunday school teachers. But anyway, the Lord Jesus appeared to Kenneth during the camp meeting this year. And the Lord told him that a mighty outpouring is coming to the body of Christ in October. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You might be woozy there for a little while. Hallelujah. Now, he told me after the end of September, he told Kenneth Hagin in October, a major outpouring is coming to the body of Christ, and he said that it was going to start in St. Louis, the center of the country, and spread from there. Well, now, that's interesting, isn't it? So when I was asking the Lord, I said, now, this is interesting that this building in Houston is ready. So, you know, LaRue said he wanted to put it off, and the Lord said, no, do it now, in October. Isn't that interesting? Major change is coming to the body of Christ. This body is a part of it. This ministry is a part of it. I have not a shadow of a doubt. So I said, well, Lord, this is the beginning of Covenant Worship Center, really, in a way. I said, what do you want to say? And he said, well, turn to the book of beginnings. So I started to turn to Genesis, which is, I've had him say that to me before. And he says, no, no. Turn to the book of Genesis for your life. And I thought, what in the world? And then I started hearing, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Open with me to John chapter 1. Hallelujah. See, really, your eternal life. How many of you know that if you're born again, and I assume everyone in here is, if you're not, for sure don't leave here without getting born again. But your eternal life has already begun. Do you understand that you're already living with Jesus forever? This part of your eternal life, you're living within a what we call an earth suit, a flesh body on the earth. But see, the part of you that's alive to God that got born again, you're already living forever now with God. Everyone say this after me. Say, I've already done all the dying I'm ever going to do. I'll slip off this earth suit one day. But I've already done all the dying I'm ever going to do. Now, if you can keep that frame of mind day by day and understand your eternal life has already begun. You're already living forever with Him. I mean, it'll change your whole outlook on life. Problems take a back seat when you understand who's in charge. Who's in charge? I think the confession of Christians is supposed to be, Jesus is Lord. I don't care what the problems are that come and what Satan does if he rears his ugly head in your life. Our job as Christians is to declare, no, no, Jesus is Lord. Lord over what? He's Lord over my life. He's Lord over my body. He's certainly Lord over my finances. Hallelujah. John 1. Now see, your eternal life, this is really Genesis for you. Concerning your eternal life. And Jackie, anytime you feel like moving, don't feel embarrassed to go. I feel like I'm home here, okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. Now, if you mark in your Bible, you ought to underline darkness. All week long, we're going to be coming back to that theme. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And we'll stop there, although probably be the best thing we could do for this service is read the whole book. Why did Jesus come? The last verse. He hath declared him. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had a conception of God which was totally based on law, the law of Moses. They understood God to be a God of judgment. They understood God to be a God of war. They understood some things about God based on the Mosaic law, the Mosaic covenant. The reason they rejected Jesus, Jesus came, it says, to declare the Father. Later he would tell Philip in his same book, he says, Philip, have I been with you so long and you don't know who I am? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Pharisees could not accept Jesus. They didn't understand. They had no concept of God, a Father, a Father who loves his children. They only could understand a God of judgment. I grew up pretty much that way. I pretty much saw God as some kind of being with a long white beard and a big hammer just waiting for me to mess up. And the first time I messed up, bam, you know. And that's the way the Pharisees and the Sadducees were. Jesus came to reveal the Father. Now, here's the thing. The Pharisees, let's just call them the religious experts of the day. They so held to their traditional view of God that they rejected Jesus, who came to reveal God. Can you see that? Their sin was really the rejection of Christ. That's why he told them later on again in this same book, he says, unless you believe I am he, you will die in your sins. Can you see that? Now, would you like to know the sin of the religious experts today? They have so held to Jesus, the traditional Jesus that we've been taught for so many years, that they have rejected the Holy Spirit, who has come to reveal Christ in you. See, it's the same sin. Rejecting the Holy Spirit when his whole job is to reveal Christ in you. The mystery of the gospel is, Paul said in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, traditional churches, you can go and learn a lot of things. And there is a lot of revelation knowledge. All right, let's start like this. When I was praying this morning, because I was going to, now you're saying, what's this got to do with this church? You'll find out. I was praying about that this morning. The Holy Spirit is still in the process of revealing Christ, who in the process reveals God the Father. I got to thinking about the 1800s and the great revivals that went on then. I got to thinking about Charles Finney, Whitfield, all of those great revivalists, Moody, on and on and on you could go. These were primarily what you would call repentance and salvation revivals. I remember the Welsh, reading about the Welsh revival, a whole nation turned to God. Whole cities would repent to the place that they get saved, to the place they had to close down the bars. There were no customers left. The church didn't have to go and petition the city council members to try and get the bars closed. The bars closed because there were no customers. They were all at the house of God, worshiping, singing, praising God. Now, there wasn't many signs and wonders with that revival. It was a repentance and salvation revival. So the revelation is in the earth. Jesus is Savior. Jesus is your salvation. He died on the cross as a substitute for your sins. And if you receive him and believe on him, you can have eternal life and never perish. The church has that revelation. Hallelujah. Starting about 1900, when the great Azusa Street Revival began, and that's about simultaneously in Topeka, Kansas, I believe it was, an outpouring of the Spirit began. the gifts of the Spirit started being restored to the church that had been lost for so many centuries. All of the gifts such as other tongues, prophecy, interpretation of tongues, signs and wonders began to trickle. And suddenly there was a revelation coming back into the earth that these things were not only for the first days. It's always been God's mind. So he began restoring the gifts around 1900. Right after World War II, by the way, Kenneth Hagin again, during World War II, during a fasting and seeking time, the Lord told him, he says, at the end of World War II, a great healing revival is coming to America. Well, you think about it, right after the war, God started raising up all of these ministries. There was Jack Coe. Kenneth Hagin was one of them. Oral Roberts was one of them. On and on and on. You could name all of these great revivals where the healing message was again restored to the church. Okay, so now we have Jesus the Savior. We have Jesus the Healer. But there is one message that really has never yet been delivered. See, the curse of the law was threefold. Spiritual death, sickness, poverty. You're seeing it already. Sickness. Now let's take spiritual death first. See, that's the first revelation that began coming forward in the 1800s. Jesus the Savior. Jesus the Savior. Then came the revelation in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Christ the Healer. Christ the Healer. But the one revelation that's really never come strong to the church is that Jesus is Lord over all the finances. Jesus the Provider. Jesus the Provider. That revelation, we've had little trickles of it. Thank God for what we've had, the sowing and reaping type messages and those type of things. But really, that revelation, Christ the Provider, really more than that, not just Provider. In fact, at this point, go over to Luke chapter 4. Let's look at Satan's boast. How many knows the devil is a liar? And the father of lies. We're going to look at the passage that's real familiar to everybody where Jesus, after he was baptized in water by John, was led of the Spirit out into the wilderness and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And then the Bible says after that he hungered. Then came the tempter to tempt him. Excuse me. Then came the tempter to tempt him. And we'll just pick it up in verse 3. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Now you notice Jesus did not argue with him or dispute with him. If thou wilt therefore worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Let's stop right there for a minute. Verse 6, the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Now the reason Jesus did not argue with the devil at that precise moment, it was true. Now here's an interesting thing. I remember all those hours of praying, the Holy Ghost one day, this was years ago, the Holy Ghost said to me, search your Bible and find where God ever turned the wealth of the world over to the devil. I got to search in my Bible. I couldn't find anything like that. I found where God created everything that is and turned it over to the first man, Adam. But it was Adam, through his disobedience and treason, who lost his anointing and really could not stop the devil. The devil and his followers just came in and took it all, basically. That's it. They just took, God never turned it over to the devil. The devil took it by default. All right? How many of you have ever heard in your Bible about Jesus Christ being the second man, the last man, Adam? Now see, when Jesus died on the cross, in the justice halls of heaven, Adam, and I mean the entire species of Adam, died. As far as God's concerned, the whole Adam, the whole race, the whole species of Adam died on that cross. That's why God was free to appoint a new one and resurrect the Lord Jesus Christ to be the new Adam, the new Lord, if you will, of all. All right? So I see where God turned the finances or the wealth of the world over to the stewardship of the first man, Adam. He lost it. The devil took it by default. But on the cross, that Adam, legally, in the justice halls of heaven, died. When he died, really the authority that the devil had gained through that first Adam ended. Ended at that moment. And there's a new Adam on the scene. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me, he said. Isn't that right? So now God, the Father, still owns everything. I mean, he always has, he always will. But now he has turned all of the resources of the earth over to the stewardship and the lordship of Jesus Christ. God knows that. Jesus knows that. The devil knows that. There's only one person that doesn't know that, and that's the body of Christ. Because we've been so religiously brainwashed by the doctrine of the devil himself. See, I did a demonstration like this the other day, and y'all may have to bear with me, because I had a clip-on mic then. Hold this just a minute. All right, go back over to John 1 for a minute. Hallelujah. I hope y'all ate a big breakfast. Okay, now before I read this in John 1, remember I asked him to lay it out for me real methodically. Now listen, for a moment, I want you to pretend like you're the first man, Adam. When God breathed the breath of life into the first man, Adam, and he first came to consciousness in the Garden of Eden. Okay? At this point, there's no devil on the scene. There's really nothing but you and this garden. And you wake up in that garden, your first experience, and you start looking around and walking around the Garden of Eden, and you find that everything you could possibly ever need has already been provided for you by God before you ever showed up. What conclusion would you have to come to? God is a God of abundance. I mean, look at this. He prepared all of this before me, before I was ever even here. I mean, nobody could come and convince you, if there was another person, they could not come and convince you God wants you in lack. Because all Adam would have to do was look around that garden and say, bet me. Look at all these trees. Look at all this abundance. I mean, look, there's mountains, there's rivers, they're full of fish, there's wild game, there's abundance everywhere. And besides that, if you read the Genesis account, right in the beginning, God even told Adam where the silver and the gold was when he's describing those rivers. Isn't that interesting? I mean, there's abundance on all sides. How in the world could you get Adam, the first one, to ever believe that God wanted a person in lack? You couldn't get him to believe it. But now notice here in John, by the time Jesus came into the earth, notice this in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in what? Darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. All right, just for a moment, pretend with me again. You're not the first man, Adam, anymore. But let's pretend that after Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, resurrected on the third day, went back to heaven. Let's just say, pretend with me for a minute. In fact, it'd be better if we just pick somebody. We'll just pick LaRue. Stand up here, sir. I think this is the only way I'm going to be able to do this. And LaRue just happens to be the first man that receives Christ. He's the first born-again man after Jesus. Can you picture that? Okay. But now the problem is, he's born thousands of years later, where Satan has been the god of this world for 6,000 years. He's perverted everything to his own use. So when you first awake to consciousness in your spirit, you don't find yourself in a garden. But just around your eyes, like a blindfold. Just tie it. Right, just hold it for a minute. He wakes up, the Bible says, in darkness. Now, he's alive in his spirit unto God. He's just awoke to God. But when he wakes up and begins looking around, what does he see? Darkness. Because the world, this whole world system, the Bible says Satan is the god of this world system. It says that after the resurrection. The whole system has been perverted to his way of thinking. So when he comes to life, new life in Christ, and he begins to look around, what does he see? Well, Hollywood has all the money. The drug lords, they've got most of the money. And the only way to get money in this world is to cheat and steal and pretty much do those. If you're really going to get money, real money. When he looks around this garden, he sees a whole different thing than what the first Adam saw. Now, here's the problem. He's standing there, and he decides to go to a church because they teach about Jesus, and he just got saved. So he goes to a church, like I did growing up, and they tell you, God wants you humble and poor. All it does, from the pulpit, he gets reinforcement to the darkness of this world that he was born into. Now, hang on just a minute. This will help you. Well, let's say at the same time when he got born again, he was born with, let's just say terminal cancer. For lack of, I wanted something hard. Terminal cancer. Now, he just got saved. He's born again in his spirit, but he has never, ever heard anybody preach that Jesus is a healer. Never. He's never heard that in his life. All right? Having no light of the word, all he knows is what he's grown up with in darkness. So he says, now walk with me, I won't let you fall. He says, say this after me, I'll put the mic in front of you and say, well, I have to die.
Well, I have to die.
That's what the doctors say.
That's what the doctor said.
They're the experts.
They're the experts.
Everyone I've ever seen.
Everyone I've ever seen.
With this kind of cancer.
With this kind of cancer.
They died.
They died.
I have to die.
I have to die.
All right, now, stay right there for a minute. Suddenly you happen to walk into one of those Holy Ghost churches. And you hear this old country boy, probably didn't have two nickels to put together. But he stands up on the platform, and for the first time in your life, you hear, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. And he goes, it kind of shakes him. Whoa, what was that? I never heard anything like that. He says, what did that guy say? From the pulpit again, he hears, Jesus is your healer. Jesus is my healer? There's a possibility. And this blindfold starts getting loose. He's starting to see a little bit of daylight. Things are starting to lighten up a little bit. The man keeps preaching. Himself bore your sicknesses and carried your pains. He bore them on the cross so that you don't have to. And about that time, the blindfold falls. And he says, I can see. Jesus, the gospel, came into the darkness, and with it he brought light. And he goes, I could be healed. You see?
Yes.
Okay, now that's what the whole gospel is about. Jesus, it says here, penetrated the darkness. Look what it says. John chapter 1, verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You see? Because all we've ever known is what we've seen in this world. It's already been programmed by the darkness of the devil's mind and what's been preached by unbelieving preachers. The Bible says he sent his word and healed them. I'm holding up the Bible for benefit of the tape. See, this is why you can't look around. This is why the just must live by faith. You're never going to find out Jesus is your healer without this word. You're never going to find out Jesus is your Savior without this word. You're also never going to find out Jesus is your provider without this word. God sent this so that you could understand what the kingdom of light is all about. But you can only access all of the benefits in that kingdom by faith in this word. Otherwise, you're limited to the darkness. Because if you're not willing to live by faith, I assure you the devil will impose his darkness upon your life. Isn't that something? We've gotten the revelation into the earth that Jesus is your Savior. The revelation is in the earth, Jesus the healer. But the earth has almost no revelation of Jesus the provider. Jesus is Lord over the finances. And I know that's a big part of the call of this church. LaRue was talking with me with a pastor's heart, whether he realized it or not last night. And he says, well, I wonder about the people that come in, though, that don't necessarily have that call. You know, there's other things that they need to be taught. Listen, when you're teaching prosperity the Bible way, you're going to have to teach the whole counsel of God. Because if people think they're going to just give and walk in some kind of supernatural abundance while they continue to hate their neighbor. They got another thing coming. You have to teach love to teach Bible prosperity. You have to teach forgiveness to teach Bible prosperity. You have to teach obedience to teach Bible prosperity. You have to teach healing to teach Bible prosperity. You have to teach the whole counsel of God. But the emphasis, just like God's raised up different men in different times to bring revelation into the earth. Sure, Adam had delivered them over unto him. But Adam and his authority came to an end at the cross of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus rose from the dead, there's a new Adam on the scene. And he has all authority over heaven and earth. And Satan has no authority and no right to the wealth of this world. He's only been keeping it from the church because the church is still blinded by the darkness. Your job, sir, remove the blindfold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did I get his mind or what? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now this week, if you can come to the night services, as you can tell, my teaching style is a little different. Boy, the Lord has given me some ammunition, things I've never gotten to teach anywhere for this week. And Nick's gotten a preview. Do you like it, Nick? Hallelujah. I think you'll hear some things. I assure you, this is not going to be your typical plunk $10 in the bucket and wait for your $100 return. This is not going to be those kind of messages, although sowing and reaping is all through the Bible. Now, it's not against sowing and reaping. But, there is a whole lot more to the mind of Christ when it comes to kingdom finances than that. See, I tried to make Luke 6:38 work for me for years. Just turn over. This preview's of coming attractions. I tried to make Luke 6:38 work for me for years. I mean, there it is, just black and white, you know. Luke 6:38, one of the most familiar verses on prosperity in the whole Word of God. I mean, you guys could preach this as well as me. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, if you hang around Dave, Pastor Dave Roberson, or his students, such as LaRue or myself, one of the first things that you're going to find that we teach is you never, ever, under any circumstance, lift a verse of the Bible out of its setting. If you do that, you can make the Bible say anything. Let me prove it to you. Let me put together two isolated verses. Judas went out and hung himself. Go thou and do likewise. That's two verses from the Bible. If you do that and just pull them from here and there, you can make the Bible say anything. Well, I had this verse preached to me for years when I got born again in 1980, and well, you know, we just got right into this giving, and you know, and I'm going, where's my hundredfold return? Where's the men pressed down, shaking together, and running over? Then I run into Pastor Dave, who says, no, you meditate the Bible in whole subjects. You back up. You find where he started talking about this, and you go to the end, and you find out where he quit talking about this, and you meditate that whole passage. Then you'll understand those verses in the middle. Well, I started backing up. I didn't like what I saw. Look at this. Just go back to verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Ooh. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. I like the way Pastor Dave says that. One of the other Gospels giving this account says if they sue you at the law to take away one thing, give them the other also. He says if they come to sue you for your car, rather than get a lawyer and fight them, no, you take your car, you fill it up with gas, you wash it, you wax it, you have the upholstery cleaned, and you give it to them in Jesus' name. That's what he taught. Now, I'm going, can't we just stick with just verse 38? I'll just put my little offering in the bucket, and when they, and I'll expect men to pour this into me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and can't I do that and continue to hate my neighbors, and do bad to my enemies, and curse them which curse me?
you know, and him that smiteth me on the one cheek, I'll make him wish he was never born. I don't understand why this prosperity isn't working. I put my $10 in the offering, Jesus. No matter, I sued that guy for $500,000 the other day because he said something ugly about my dog, you know, or something like that. You know what I'm saying? So there's just a whole lot more to it. If, you know, we've wondered, why isn't it working? Well, we don't have the mind of Christ. I taught this one time, and some people took me aside, took me to lunch, you know, later. Said, you really shouldn't teach that, you know, because, you know, young Christians, if they try and step out on this, they'll be destroyed. Oh, really? Well, since do y'all like that part about taking everything in context? All right, go to Luke 6:38 with your finger. Do you notice how he's still talking? It's all red. Mine's a red letter edition, you know. Come right on down to verse 46, because he's not through talking yet. Why call you me, Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? See, I told you at the beginning of this, I've already found out how to prosper in God. Whatever he says, who is Lord over your life? You? You getting paid for what you're worth, are you? See, if you ever start obeying him, you start getting paid according to what he's worth. Now, most of the time, when he gives you instructions, your head is going to have trouble with it. Like my instructions when he told us how to step out in the ministry. Or like what he told me a while ago. You know, we have expenses involved and things like that. Thank God these people are taking care of, you know, they're taking care of us and putting us up and everything. But your head, it has got nothing to do with it. Those that are the children of God, those that are the sons of God, they are led by the Spirit of God. Listen, whatever he says to you, do it. And if he says, pray, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you. Now let's get right down to it. How does that tie in with Luke 6:38? Let's go back to the car for a minute. The guy comes and sues you for your car. He's got no right to it. But he's just going to sue you because he's going to sue you. I want your car. You understand that? I'm going to sue you. I'm going to take you to court. And I'm going to get it too. And you tell him. Because the most number one thing in your heart, you see with eternity in mind, just like Jesus. And you understand that Jesus is Lord over all cars. What he's after is the eternal soul of that guy who's suing you. And if your commitment with the Lord is enough, to you say, sir, my witness before the Lord Jesus Christ is much more important. He values your soul much more than I value this car. I'll just give you the car. You don't have to sue me. I'll just give you the car. You can have it just because you want it. And I'll gas it up, wax it, and wash it, and clean the upholstery, and you can just have it. But I want you to understand that doesn't do any good without the witness. See, I want you to understand the reason I'm doing it. Jesus loves you, sir. He is my provider. I'm not concerned about a car. He'll send men to give me cars, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I'm not concerned about the car, but Jesus is sure concerned about you, sir. He loves you. I want you to know, my witness to him is much more important than this car. Now see, to that person, Jesus, that's a person that knows who their provider is. They know who is Lord over all cars. A person that's willing to just obey the gospel because you think with eternity in mind and you know that the bottom line, everything Jesus ever asks you to do, the bottom line is always souls. To him, if the church can ever get the revelation that Jesus is Lord and steward over everything financially. If we ever get the revelation, he is able to heap cars on you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. He has no problem with that. The problem he has is finding a group of people who put their trust in him rather than man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Lord. I'm trying to see if he wants to go on or if that's enough. Just pray silently for a minute. Let me just make sure I get his mind. My church will rise and understand the sword of the Spirit. For all that happens in the material realm must first originate and be birthed in the Spirit by my Spirit. The church will forsake and abandon the ways of mammon, which is the gospel of the devil, and will turn to me, the Lord of all, as their source, and will hear my voice and learn to operate in the Spirit, because it's only by hearing and obeying the leadership of the Spirit that I can restore the material wealth that Satan has hid away. These victories shall not be won according to the world's way. They shall be won according to those that will hear my voice and obey and hearken to the voice of my Spirit, even though these things shall be as foolishness in the sight of the world. But I have chosen the foolish things, the things that are despised, the base things of the world, to bring to nothing the things that are. And if you will hearken to the voice of my Spirit, I will groom you, I will train you, I will remove every vestige of pride from you, so that you can be free to obey those, quote, foolish things that my Spirit would have you do. For it is those very things, and operating from the realm of the Spirit, that I am able to extend my hand and into the realm of the material, and bring back into my kingdom those things for which I paid the price. Victory is won in the Spirit before it's ever manifest in the flesh. I will teach you, saith the Lord, I will teach you warfare in the financial realm from the Spirit's point of view. No man can withstand my Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we're just not in any hurry. I just want to be sure and do everything you want to do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He says he knows what I'd like to do. I'd like to stand here and do this all day. He says, you let him go. Tell him to come back during the week. Father, I thank you for your word that's gone forth today. We thank you, Lord, for this foundation. I think we have a better understanding of your mind now, Father. Father, we just thank you for these people. Lord, these are hungry people. Hungry people, Lord. They're not here to play church, that's for sure. They didn't come here to play church. I know that, and you know that. Father, I ask you for a special blessing. Stretch forth your hand to touch the home and the life of every one of these people. Father, in such a way that they know when it happens, they go, that's my Father's touch. That's my Father's touch. Let them know, Lord. Let them know that you appreciate them being here, because you really do. Hallelujah. Now I have to ask this because I don't know every person that's here. If you don't have the first revelation that Jesus is your Savior, if you don't know that you know that you know that if you died today before sundown that you'd go to heaven, listen, you'll never be able to earn the new birth. If anyone was able to live a sinless life, then it would not have been necessary for Jesus to come and die on the cross. He was the only one that could do it. None of us are getting to heaven because we're good. We're all getting to heaven because Jesus shed his blood for us, and we put our trust in him. Salvation is the best thing you ever saw. It's a free gift. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough. You can't buy it. It was all paid for by the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus Christ himself. And if you will receive him as your Savior, you can be born again today and know it. We're not asking you to join a church. We're asking you to become alive, born again, into the family of God. True Christianity is not a religion. It's a family. And just like there was only one way into your earthly family, you had to be born into it. There's only one way into the family of God. You have to be born into it. Jesus said you must be born again. If there's anyone here that's not sure about your salvation, boy, don't leave here that way. Come on up here right now. Get saved and know you're saved. You can know for sure. Nobody couldn't beat it out of you with rifle butts when the Holy Ghost gets done with you. Hallelujah. And anybody, I should have known it. Now, the Holy Ghost is truly the teacher of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, if any man speak in another tongue, he speaks not unto men but unto God. How many of you like to talk to God? I mean, what if you had a hotline to God, Michael? You know? Alright? Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. What mysteries? Oh, all of these things like we discussed this morning. The mysteries that it's going to take to convert the wealth of the sinner to the just in the last days. The mysteries of how to get your marriage healed, your body healed, and all these things that are mysteries to you right now. The Holy Spirit comes while you're speaking in those other tongues for the express purpose of unveiling those mysteries so they're no longer a mystery to you. See, it's not a mystery to me anymore why Jesus would ask me to sow this week into this ministry at all. I understand how he works. That doesn't surprise me. He didn't tell me, I don't know why he didn't tell me before this morning, but if you can't speak with other tongues, I mean, you can go to heaven and not speak with other tongues. But why on earth would you not want to? If it's a hotline to God, where you can have the Holy Spirit of God himself become your personal trainer, your personal teacher to explain all of these things to you. If you've never received the baptism in the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues, get yourself up here. He'll fill you right now. You'll leave here speaking with other tongues. Jesus said, if we, being evil, know how to give, you know, compared to God, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him? I mean, there's no such thing as asking Him for the Holy Ghost and you not getting the Holy Ghost. There's no such thing as that. That's like people saying, well, I went to get saved and Jesus wouldn't save me. No, they didn't either. Jesus said, any man that comes unto me, I will in no wise cast out. So if you don't have a prayer language, if you can't speak with other tongues, get yourself up here right now. We'll pray for you. You'll be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Hey, it's nothing to be ashamed of. I'm proud of it. I'm like Paul anymore. Well, I wish I was like Paul. But I'm getting more like him every day. Let's say that. You know, let me say, I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. And I'm telling you, speaking with other tongues is part of the gospel, and I'm not the least bit ashamed of it. Hallelujah. I mean, he didn't send us that for nothing to keep it hid under a bushel. We're supposed to be shouting it from the rooftops. God's best is for all Christians to speak with other tongues. I don't care what they told you in church. That's God's best. That's why he sent the Holy Ghost, so you could pray that way. One more time. If you can't speak with other tongues, get yourself up here. Okay? All right, I'm taking it on faith. You can pray in other tongues now. But now, later on in the week, if you can, if you want to come forward, you come on. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God.